Today on Real Radio.
If someone's really saved, show me in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation where you can get unsaved.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We've been in a series called You Need to Know all about your salvation. In fact, Pastor Jack has been concentrating on this topic for a while now because there are numerous questions surrounding this very central topic. One question that comes up quite a bit really is, can I lose my salvation? Well, once again, our teacher consults God's written word on this subject. It's a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 28, I give them eternal life. I give them. Do you hear the assurance of this? He gives it. And they shall never perish. It gets better. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. Oh. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you trusting Jesus Christ? If given the choice to follow him, would you? Can you say, I've heard his voice in my soul. He has called me to pursue him. Then guess what? You are in the Father's hand and you are in Jesus' hand. And Jesus says, no one is able to snatch you out of our hands, says the Lord Jesus Christ. That is good news. Can you lose your salvation? Not if you have it. Here's a happy truth. A great reality. Number one, God is the one, according to the Bible, who places us into the body of Christ. God places you into the body of Christ. You didn't make that up on your own. That's the church. Number two, God is the one who seals you, the Bible says, for the day of redemption. The Bible says God does this. Third, the Bible tells us that God is the one who keeps us to the very end. Good news, people. God places us into the body of Christ. He seals us unto the day of redemption, and he keeps us all the way through to that last moment you breathe your breath, and then you wake up in his presence. He places us, he seals us, he keeps us. These truths are so real and such a reality that there's a collective explosion, as it were, of truth that we are secure in Christ. You can't lose your salvation if you have salvation. Oh, it gets better. Romans 8:33. Mark it in your Bibles or write it into the margins of your notes there. Romans 8:33 says, listen, it starts out with a question. By the way, some scholars have said that this is the most provable, tangible explosion of truth regarding the security of your salvation found in Scripture. This is it. This is over the top. Paul lays it to the Romans out with a question. Verse 33, question number one, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? This is what it means, actually. Satan brings a charge against us. Has anyone ever brought a charge against you? Of course they do. The cool thing is, whatever people or whatever Satan or whatever the world wants to lay against you, this argument of Paul's means it doesn't stick. There's a reason why it doesn't work. Who shall bring a charge against us? Well, the whole world can't stand the Christian. That doesn't matter, Paul would say. It doesn't stick. It's not possible. Why? Here's the answer. To question number one is answer number one. It is God who justifies. It is God who says, do you believe in me? Yes. He justifies. I know you don't feel justified. You are more aware of your failure and of your spiritual shortcomings than anybody in the planet. It's supposed to be that way. You and I both feel horrifically unworthy of his salvation. But the Bible says God justifies us. He answers that question. Here's question number two. It's found in verse 34. Who is he who condemns? Answer, It's Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's an awesome, loaded response. Who condemns us? Everybody. Sometimes I even condemn myself, ladies and gentlemen, church family. You ever feel like that? You ever condemn yourself? The Bible says in 1 John that we do condemn ourselves, but cheer up, God is greater than our hearts that condemn ourselves. Why is that true? Why can we be confident? Because the Bible just told us here a moment ago that it is Jesus Christ who died for us. He rose again from the dead. Listen, you disprove those things and you've got something to worry about. He's at the right hand of God the Father. Disprove that. And here's the cool thing. He intercedes for us. What does that mean? Jesus is talking to his Father about you. And it's good. He says in the Bible, my thoughts toward you are for a hope and for a future and to bring your life to a complete end. He says, my thoughts for you are for good and they're more than the sands of the sea. Go down to Newport, start counting sand, and be thou encouraged. Question number three. Who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of God? Answer, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword? Sword, this is precious news to those who are dying for their faith at the hands of ISIS right now. Sword? Nope. No ISIS sword cutting your head off can separate you from the love of God. How cool is that? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's good news. That's how secure you are. This is perhaps that passage of scripture we read a moment ago. If you suffer from separation anxiety, you know what? I don't know what you need to do about that. Trust God, take a pill, whatever. But here's the deal. When it comes to separation anxiety between you and God, banish the thought. It ain't gonna happen. Okay, here's the lightning round. We were just warming up. Lightning round. Encouraging passages of Scripture. You can't lose your salvation if you have it. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has... The word means, literally, possesses everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. That's the judgment of hell. That's the judgment of the great white throne. You'll never see it. Listen, some church may tell you to get out or excommunicate you, but if you're saved, they can't take your salvation from you. Any institution that conducts itself that way, lording over your salvation, Jesus says, I hate that. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Are you guys okay? Yes. 2 Corinthians 1:22. He who also has sealed us and has given us the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, in our hearts as a guarantee. Three remarkable words. Listen, it's God who sealed us, it's God who has given us his Holy Spirit, and God has guaranteed our salvation. He's guaranteed us. Guaranteed. This is what God says. I don't feel like it, Pastor. Tough! Do you trust Jesus? Do you find yourself, listen, daily in life, waking up in the morning, or maybe you're cruising through the day and something goes, and you say, Lord, I need you, Jesus, speak to me. God, help me. That's good news. He's guaranteed to see you through to the end. He has sealed you. He has given you his Holy Spirit as a down payment. We're still on this. 1 John 5:13. Awesome, awesome passage. I love this. This is seriously fun verse. 1 John 5:13. These things John said, writing to them, that I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you? That you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Listen to the boldness of that statement. Now, some of you are starting to feel a little, because I know certain people here from certain denominations of churches, you've been taught a certain thing, and you may say, I believe all that, but you never tell people this. Jack, don't tell people this. They shouldn't know this. Well, we'll address that in a second. Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, pause right there. Can you attest, can you bear testimony? Could you raise your right hand under oath if an answer, if asked of you, has God, can you say, has God ever worked in your life before? If you could say yes to that, guess what? You may have been a knucklehead and swerved your Christian faith car off the path and got into the weeds and did things you ought not to have been doing, or you just, you know, you cooled your jets and you're not following God like you ought to. Well, guess what? I got news for you. He's been waiting because, listen, it's his plan to get your car back on the course. Once he started a work in you, yeah, but it was 10 years ago. He's been waiting 10 years. He's not going to stop. Amen. I used to walk with God and now I don't. Listen, you're the one that walked away from God. Turn around and face him. Just turn around. Just turn around. That's something you've got to decide to do. You turn around, Christian, and you come back to him. He'll even, look, all you have to do is turn around. He'll pull you back to him if you just turn around. Amen. But we're still in Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means that, listen, the day you die or the day Christ returns, he's not going to stop getting you back on course. Here's the question. Are you saved? If you are, you're secure because he started a work and he said, I'll finish it. He's not like us. I've been working on projects at home for 30 years. And I've just been waiting to die so I don't have to finish the thing. Next consideration under this. How great is this salvation? Number two is, am I once saved, always saved? People ask this question. Pastor, do you believe? This is how I get it all the time. Listen, are you listening? This is how I... There's so much that happens that you don't know about. This is the most fun part of our relationship right here. The foyer gets a little challenging, or the courtyard, our Home Depot, or wherever I'm at, because this is what happens. Pastor, we visited your church last week, and I have to ask you a question first. Before we decide on coming to your church, and I always stop them. Well, first of all, before you go any further, it ain't my church. I didn't bleed for this thing. I wasn't crucified for this thing. And if you decide to come to that church, it's your church. It's between you and Jesus, so you just leave me out of it. I'm the sheepdog. He's the shepherd. I teach. It's between you and him. Okay, so here's the deal. Well, Pastor, we want to ask you a few questions before we grace the church with our presence. Do you believe in once saved, always saved? And I love to fresh, because I know where they're coming from. I say this. Well, it all depends on if they're saved. Like point number one. If someone's really saved, show me in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation where you can get unsaved. Show me, for example, because you know the Bible says, Jesus said it, the only way to be saved is if you are born again. Show me in the Bible where you can be unborn again. Well, Pastor, I'm not quite tracking your answer. My answer is this. You better make sure you're saved. Because if you're saved, you don't need to think about once saved being always saved and I can lose it. Because here's the question. Here's where the question comes from. If you believe, Pastor, once saved, always saved, doesn't that breed an atmosphere of complacency among those who think they're saved and always saved? Do you hear the question? I see their motive from the question is you can't tell people they're saved because they don't act like it. They'll be happy. They'll be excited. They'll be encouraged. And that sugar high, they view it like that. That sugar high, when it calms down, will lead to complacency because they'll just sit around like a spiritual couch potato. They'll do nothing because they're saved. Now, that's not true, by the way. Absolutely false. So, question, am I once saved, always saved? Well, the answer is yes, if you're saved. If you're saved, you're always going to be saved. Are you born again? Yep, then you're always going to be born again. God doesn't commit abortions in his family. Remember that. Okay? So what are the proofs then? Are there proofs to me being saved? Are there indicators? Absolutely. Here's the funny thing. Are you ready? Listen. It's serious. Only those who are saved know it. There's a group who are saved, but because of fear or timidity, they don't enjoy it. They're always doubting it because they're still thinking about, they're trying to impress God. But they're saved. They're just unhappy Christians. You say, how you doing? All right. What's the matter? I didn't pray 10 hours today. Well, stop trying and just walk with God and talk to him all day. That's how you pray. You have to get on your knees or go into a closet or draw the curtain. Just live. By the way, you want to pray a lot? Get involved in something that's bigger than you. That's the greatest way to grow. Get involved in something that's greater than you are. And there's nothing greater than following God. So here it is. Listen, those who do not even care about being saved, they don't even care about this, what's taking place right here, right now, is because they're not. This morning, are you concerned about your walk with God? My dear friend, you can only be concerned about your walk with God if God is doing a work in your heart. Proof? Ezekiel 36:26, to begin with. Indicators, proofs. Yep, Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, a whole new way of thinking and living. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Soft heart, pliable heart. Verse 27, I will put my spirit in you and cause you. Notice this, everybody. God says, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you. Watch the result. What's the proof? I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. Did you hear that? Watch, everybody, before we press further into this verse, listen, everyone. Oh, I just have to keep the rules. If I just keep the rules, if I just get my little card signed, if I just color within the lines, if I just, then the pastor or the pope or the evangelist or the minister or the is going to qualify me, and then I make the grade. Stop it. God says, I will cause you. Not, I will cause myself. God says, I'll cause you. Notice what he has to do. He has to put his Holy Spirit in you. That nucleus explodes inside your life. It's called salvation. And then he causes you to love his word, to love stuff that you used to argue with God about and think he was crazy and wrong, and that's why I'll never be a Christian. That's insane. When you accept Christ, you go, wow, that makes total sense now. How could I have been so wrong? You've got a whole new life. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. And number two, he says there, secondly, and you will keep my judgments. How do I keep them? I will be in you. I'll do it. Thirdly, look, you'll do them. I'll cause it to happen. You'll keep them because I'm at work in you, and you're going to do them. You're going to love my word. 2 Corinthians 5:16 answers to this. 2 Corinthians 5:16-17. You say, well, okay, that was the Old Testament proof or indicator that if this salvation's at work in my life, if I'm once saved, always saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside of me. But is there a New Testament proof of it? Oh, many, many. But this one, 2 Corinthians 5:16 begins, therefore, I love that, therefore, in light of this argument, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. I love that verse. Listen, you know how you and I know each other? This is how we're supposed to know each other, right here, right now. Say, like, for example, how do I know you? Look, I don't know. I think it's safe to say, looking around this room. I mean, Kathy, the lights are bright. Kathy, is that you right there? You've been coming to this church. How old were you when you started coming? 18. And how many? Well, I never knew. She's been coming though to this church. She was one of the handful of people that first started coming 25 years ago. Okay, watch this. So I know her, but even still, listen. She's probably the, Mark and Mary may be in here right now, I'm not sure, but I've probably known her the most in this room. Even though she was 18, I've only known her, not after the flesh, but after the spirit. I've only known her as a believer. She might say, but my before Christian days, don't tell me. Do you see this? Don't tell me. Gary, I've known you for a long time. Long time. I don't know Gary any other way except in Christ. Are you with me? From now on, says the apostle, we don't know anyone after the flesh. This is good news. Well, Pastor, I'm new here and stuff, and I just want to, you know, be part of the family. So let me tell you about my life. No. Let's just talk about God's good stuff. Let's talk about what God has done in your life since that BC, or let's leave the BC days, before Christ days. Let's talk about the new days. Why? Because God says, I have forgotten it. So let's stop reminding them, okay? He said, I forgot. So let's let that go. Yeah, but you know, I used to be a murderer and a rapist, drug addict, terrorist, a politician, something. I don't know. It's like, well, I'm angry right now with what's... No, I'm kidding. So I don't care. We need to remember that when we talk to each other. Some people give their testimony. Yeah, I've been a Christian for 3 years. Let me tell you how I used to be. No, don't! I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know you like that. I look at you. Listen, you look at me. We only know each other after Jesus. That's good news, people. We're still in 2 Corinthians 5. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no more, no longer. That means Paul says we knew him when he walked around, but that's not how we know him now. We know him now enthroned in heaven above. Verse 17, here you go. Therefore, in light of everything I just said, he's announcing, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If that's happened, it doesn't need to happen again and again and again. It's happened once. If that's happened to you, you are once saved, always saved. The question is, are you saved? Fundamentally, we are now born of God and have become that new creation. Foundationally, we've been sealed, marked, identified by the Holy Spirit. And that's good news. If salvation can be lost in God's sealing, think of this. Because the word seal, God sealed us. The Bible tells us, for example, in Ephesians 4:30, you've been sealed, marked by the Holy Spirit. Marked. That word, sealed, marked, identified by the Holy Spirit, is a word that means that you've been stamped by God's signet ring of ownership. You are owned by God. He doesn't have any yard sales. He doesn't have any giveaways. He doesn't put you in a bag so somebody can come to your porch and take you away. You're stamped until the day of redemption. And that flies in the face of this argument. Because if salvation can be lost, then God's sealing, think of it, there's not much effect, but thank God it is.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. It's one in a series that answers the question, can you have eternal life and then lose it? You Need to Know All About Your Salvation is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of the more, shall we say, awkward moments when sharing our faith is simply getting that conversation started. You know, just breaking the ice, wouldn't you agree? Well, here's one way. Tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. If you have the Real Life smartphone app, maybe you can show it to your friend. And if you don't have it, remember, it's a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. If your friend's already a believer, simply direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. So again, maybe in the next few days, tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and maybe even direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.